Would you be turning to the book of St. Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17? Talking about something that some of the disciples seen and it has a great meaning in their time and in a time to come. So we try to get into all that we can. It's been a blessing to study this chapter. But in chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, verse 1, and after 6 days, and first of all, we want to look at this thing here with 6 days. Why wasn't it seven? Why wasn't it four? But I believe it's 6 days is a type of the 6,000-year reign before Christ comes back. And this is something that's fixing to happen before too long, I think. But anyway, it's just me. But anyway, I think that Jesus is there ready to come. Mm-hmm. And we hope it is anyway. But the six and the 6,000, it kind of brings us to something here. But after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brethren, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. Now, again, you imagine, if you can, the appearance of Jesus Christ when he comes back and is there on that cloud and he says, come up here. You can see, you can understand here the 6,000 years. You can understand his face shining and all this, because this is Jesus as he would be after he left the earth, and as he's before his Father, he's in this kind his complexion is altogether different and shining. But it says here, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And of course, again, we see this light that we see over in the book of Genesis, let there be light.
Amen.
The light is the light of the world. The light is our light. The light is the main thing that we're to try to look at and understand, and not darkness. And we're talking about this boy that done all this stuff. Hey, he's in dark. He's mm-hmm. in dark. And people,
amen.
I have no desire to be there. And he's there. But anyway, notice something that happened here. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
And amen.
In this writing, and you can look through your four Gospels in this, that he says, whom I am well pleased. It's everywhere, and in one place there, Jesus was praying, and I believe it's in the 28th, John 12:28. But anyway, he said, Father, glorify me. And the Father spoke back to him and said, I have glorified you. Here's one of them. And he said, I will glorify you again. And he did glorify him again, even through the death and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So here we see that he says, with Moses and Elijah, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright light overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid.
Amen.
So we want to see this morning what this picture is all about here, this revealing or this transfiguration on the mount up there. And we'll see these two people here over in the book of Revelations again. And we want to turn there, if you would, with me to Revelation 3. And just look a minute here at this. Maybe we can bring out something here that will be of interest to you and that will cause you to study more, because these two witnesses are described in Zechariah, and they're described in Exodus, and they're just like what I was telling you about with Jesus saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and that I have honored him." So notice in in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 3, he says, "I will give power unto my two witnesses." It's in Revelation 11, 3. And I will, I may have told you wrong. I'm sorry if I did. 11, 3. Okay. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Now, this clothing typifies when someone is had lost some of their loved ones or something. They were in agony, if you would, in this. But this is what they're going to be clothed in. It's like a burlap, more or less. But anyway, notice here the 1,260 days. Now I took my pencil out and I figured this out. It's 3.5 years,
right?
Right down to the thing. It's 3.5 years. This is one half of the tribulation period,
right,
where these two witnesses are going to be. And I'm assuming by what happened to them that it's the first half, because they are there in Israel. They are there in Jerusalem or wherever, and they are teaching these people. They are preaching the gospel to them, and it is tearing the people all to pieces.
Right.
They hate them. They despise it. And by that, you can tell the condition of Israel, how it's going to be in the last days. Listen, they're not going to turn to Jesus Christ through the preaching of these two people. They're not going to do it. The only time that they'll ever turn is when they see him come. Then they'll know that it is him. They'll see him, and they will turn to Jesus. But right now, they're not turning. Before we get to this, you notice here what in verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Arise and measure the temple of God and the altar of them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And so this is what these two, and it's Moses and it's Elijah, and here's some of the things that both of them can do. Read this just in a minute to you. Notice in verse 5, and just a minute, let me, I've lost my thought. In verse 3, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy." Okay, I read it. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner killed." And so for the 3.5 years that they're there, and those people are hollering against them and trying to kill them and all this, if they do anything to one of them, it says that fire comes out of their mouth. Now, I don't know if it's a burning fire like that, or if the word of God comes out in such a way that it causes them to run or to die or whatever. But it says, notice here, and this is some of the things that I want you to remember this. "These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now here is the power of Elijah. When the Lord said to Elijah in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, he told him, he says, in 1 Kings 17, let's see, I'll get this right in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Let me write down the chapter verse. Okay. Just a minute. Bear with me. Anyway, this is where Elijah was, and the Lord told him to go over this. Well, he told Ahab is who he told. Now I thought I had it marked right. Anyway, Elijah told Ahab. He said it's not going to rain for years. And after that, the Lord told Elijah, he said, you go down by this creek, and I forget the name of it, and he said, you stay there, and I'll take care of your needs. Well, it was such a drought that the creek dried up, and the raven had fed him, and you know the story, and he got the water. This is the same thing. These have power to shut up heaven that it rain not. Mm-hmm. And so this is pointing directly to Elijah. He's going to be there as one of them in Israel preaching. And he's going to have Moses with him. Now notice. And have power over water to turn them to blood. Now you remember when Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go.
Right.
All right. Then Moses went in and he told Aaron. He didn't do it himself, but he told Aaron, he said, you take that rod and you go out there and touch that water, and everything in Egypt turned to blood. All the water turned to blood. So this is pointing again, and a lot of people think that it's other people, but I believe these are the two that will be there. But he says, these have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and that they're preaching, the days of their preaching, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. People, it's going to be a bad time.
Amen.
And Egypt seen it. Egypt seen it, and the apostles and all recorded it. But Israel and them, they don't believe it yet.
Right.
But listen, they are going to believe it. I'll guarantee you that these two prophets here will make believers out of them, and they will get to see it. But notice then in verse 7, and when they shall have finished, this other thing here besides this is plagues, and I didn't bring it out, but it's in Exodus 2. And when they shall have, in verse 7, shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them.
Right.
So now, this, to me, is, you know, where Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. And Moses was carried by God over on a mountain, or went up there, and he died up there. And he was buried, and nobody don't know where his grave is at. So here he's making this second appearance to show that the Bible was telling the truth about it. But anyway, he says here that, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually, listen to this, spiritually called Sodom and Gomorrah. This is when Israel will be identified as Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Now, you know there's going to have to be a big change over there, but listen, it's going to happen. Those people are going to be so sinful and so mean that they're going to have to see this come. And listen, what happens about this? And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So we know where they're talking about.
Right.
And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. And here again is the completion of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So, you know, these old boys right here, Moses and Elijah, they was putting it out.
Mm-hmm.
They're preaching the old law, more than likely. They're coming right back and telling these Jews all of this about the laws and all, and they're putting grace into it too, and the Jew cannot understand that. So this is why that they're so happy about this. And one time I was reading this or made some kind of statement, I said it must be around Christmas time. They're sending gifts. But anyway, they're so happy if it's the 4th of July or the 10th of May. They'll be that happy, listen. Because,
right.
Listen, you take a whole country like that, and they are all like that. It's got to be, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that Saul had wrong with him when he got permission to get letters to go and kill and put in prison those people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that God stopped him on that road and said to him, "Why do you persecute me?" Hey, listen, they're still persecuting. They still know what this is all about.
Right.
And so listen, here and they in verse 9, and they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer them. And then I'm going to read on down here. And then in verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of God enters into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." Mm-hmm. And so this is, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour, listen to this, was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquakes were slain of the men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So finally, some of them's eyes are open. So mm-hmm. back now in our lesson this morning in 17, Matthew 17. So this here is what Peter and them saw when they seen this transfiguration before them. And you notice here, Peter is the only one that said anything about building a temple or anything. And he was always, there was James and John, they didn't say anything about it. But notice in verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were frightened. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw an old man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, and we was discussing this Wednesday night a little bit about why Jesus told them this. It says, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." In other words, when he would do these miracles, he and do these things, he would always say to the disciples, "Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody." And of course, we was discussing it just a little bit. But listen, if they had continued praising Jesus and telling about the miracles that he done. You remember even in the temple when he would do things and then he healed himself and one place there the Bible says that they would come to make him king.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this scripture had to be fulfilled. And if the disciples had went around and telling people all the things that Jesus had done, There might have been a conflict there, and Jesus could not have done as many as he did, and Jesus didn't want that.
Right.
He wanted to stay in the background. He wanted to do these miracles, but he did not want the praise of the people and interfere with what he and God had discussed in eternity about what he would do. Because there was, I believe with all my heart, there was a discussion between God and Jesus Christ in eternity before. And they planned out this whole thing. It was all a plan. Every little thing, every little jot, and every little tittle, the Bible says he kept it. And there was a plan for Jesus to do these. And had they have started praising Jesus Christ and all of this, and they would have tried to make him something that he didn't come to be at that time, because he came to be a sacrifice for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way that he could get to the cross, is to reject the praise of men. And so this morning, these are some of the things that I wanted to read to you. I got another thing or two here I wanted the olive trees you can find in Zechariah 4 if you want to look it up, if you want to make a note about it. And then there's the candlestick, it mentions it in here too, that was I think it's in Exodus where they saw that. But anyway, it all typifies the two men here. And they're going to be there. And I wanted to make sure that I got all I could out of this, because it's so interesting to know that God's word 4,000 or 5,000 years ago that was wrote down is still true today.
Amen.
And sometimes we let the devil cause us to doubt and say, well, that shouldn't be a thee or a the or a you or a me. But listen, it's perfect. There's no flaws in it.
Mm-hmm.
It stood the ages of time.
Amen.
And when we read something like this, so many times you can remove the top layer off and get a little bit deeper, and you find a gold mine.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so many times I'll read something like that, and even over there when so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Listen, there's gold there.
Amen.
If we can break it out. Because it's all, and it'll never all be understood. And so anytime that you open the Bible and you read something, and the devil says to you, well, they've read that 4 or 5 times. He's taught on that 4 or 5 times. Listen, that's the thing that sometimes that I have a problem with, because I can find something and I have a desire to teach it. Well, they've heard that. They know that. But the thing of it is, I don't really have to listen to that.
Right.
Because, listen, when I get to studying one thing, The Lord always shows you something else that makes it better. So anyway, this is something you should think of for next week and read about, study about, and maybe you'll get a better blessing.
Amen.
This morning. Thank y'all.